Today we're going to talk about temptation. Now I have a question for you. Is there anyone here today who has never had to face temptation? Any hands at all? Okay. Well, of course not. We all have. Is there anyone here today who has never given in to temptation? Raise your hand. You've never given in to it. Yeah. I saw a few hands go up when I said that second that and they went down. Of course we have. We have all given in to it because we all have sin in our lives. Each one of us have been tempted to sin in our lives. You know, temptations come in many forms. And they have many faces. Today we may face something that does not bother us at all, but 20 years ago would have. Temptations that we faced as young people in life no longer bother us because we are beyond that point. But there are temptations today that would not have tempted us 20 years ago or 30 or 40 years ago. But we face them, don't we? Many, many ways. Now, the question today is, how do we keep from giving in to them? We know they're coming, and it doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to get another one. As long as life stands, you're going to face temptations from Satan. So how do we live? How do we keep away and not give in to the temptations that we face? This morning from our text, Joseph gives us a great example of how to do this. You know, Joseph was just like we are. He had to deal with temptations just as we have to deal with temptations. And being a mere man, he had given in to temptations, no doubt, just as you and I have given in to temptations. But on this occasion, Joseph did not give in. We read the prior life of Joseph and we find that he has already faced Satan many ways. And Satan has tried to overcome him with problems of the world. And Joseph had his problems of the world, didn't he? But he failed. Satan failed with his temptations to Joseph. So now he tries to entice Joseph with physical pleasures of life through the avenue of Potiphar's wife. And again, he fails. And I believe that this story reveals to us some things that can help us ward off the temptations that Satan puts against us. So this morning, I would like for us to explore four things that should help us keep in mind that we can overcome Satan and things that will help us to overcome Satan in our lives. The first one is this. We need to understand that all temptations begin with Satan. I can't tell you how many times something has gone wrong in the lives of someone, and they would come up to me and they would say, "Why did God let this happen to me? Why did God do this to me? Why did God take my loved one away? Why did God make me sick? Why did God give me this burden?" And we try to blame God for the things that go wrong in our lives. But I have to tell you something, my friends. God is not to blame for the things that go wrong in our lives. Especially when it comes to the temptations of life that we face every day. James makes this clear, James chapter 1, verse 13. "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." Do you remember in Matthew chapter 4 that Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness? Now, it is true that God allowed this to happen. God didn't cause this. Satan had it out for Jesus from the day that he was born, even before he was born. That's why they had to deal with Herod, who killed all young babies hoping to kill Christ. And they have to flee to Egypt as a result of it. But in this situation, it was just Jesus and Satan, one-on-one. But you know, sometimes he uses evil. Satan will use others to help him with what he's doing to man. At least that's what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 2, verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. And then in verse 18, Peter says, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. Peter is trying to tell us that there are people around you who are going to tempt you to do wrong, who are going to try to put you into sin. They are agents of Satan. They are servants of Satan. They are workers of him. So not only do we have to worry about Satan himself, we have to worry about those who are in his employ. And the world is full of people like that. Satan is very good at deceiving people and taking advantage of them. Which is why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 that we need to be aware of Satan, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Every one of us in this room knows how powerful Satan really is. And we also know that he knows our weaknesses, the things that we will fall for in life. And that's exactly what he's going to use on us. He is not going to waste his time tempting us with things that he knows we can stay away from. But if he knows how you're weak, if he knows things that you would give in to, that's his strength. And he will use that against you. Yes, he has devices. He has tools that have been tested and proven since the beginning of time. He is the master of misleading us, deceiving us, lying to us. But then again, that's what temptation's all about, isn't it? Satan promises things that he will never deliver on. He will even promise you things that he cannot deliver on. Now, there is one thing that we need to understand. There is a difference between temptation and sin. Jesus and Joseph in their lives were both tempted. And yet, neither committed the sin. At least Joseph did not commit sin on this occasion. In fact, we do not have record of Joseph committing any sin in the Scripture. But remember, Joseph was a mere man. There would have been sin in Joseph's life. Because Paul tells us that all have sinned, including Joseph, and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus, on the other hand, was not just a mere man. We talked about that in class this morning. The two parts of Jesus, the divine side and the human side. And neither side committed sin. Jesus had no sin. The Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And you know, here's something else. Jesus did not commit sin under the old law, which is the law that he actually lived under. That is quite an accomplishment to live under the old law without sin, because the old law was a condemning law. The old law was not a forgiving law. The word forgive is not even written in that law. Peter chimes in with this thought, with Christ without sin, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. So we have established the fact that there was no sin in Jesus where there is sin within us. But all, including Christ, was tempted. But remember, they're different. Even though temptation is not sin, and let no one call you a sinner because you face a temptation in life. But temptation is the avenue, it is the road that will lead you to sin. James explains this in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. It is the sin that destroys, not the temptation. The temptation is just the stepping stone. Now, true enough, the greatest thing that we could ever do is to avoid temptation. And there are ways to do that. That's another sermon. And we can, in ways, avoid temptation. But sooner or later, it's going to get us. And temptation is actually a perversion. It is a twisting of something that is legitimate or something that is of natural desire. Not maybe in the fact that it is wrong in itself, but we can twist it and make it look wrong, and we can twist it and make it be wrong. And temptation will do that. And that is why, again, from the Scripture, John tells us in 1 John 1, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world, because the things that are in the world can twist us, can twist our thinking, can twist our sight, can twist our hearing, and affect how we act and react. Do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it is not of the Father, it is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Now, one other thought on this. Being tempted does not mean that you are weak. Jesus Christ was not weak, and he was tempted. Joseph was not weak, and he was tempted. Moses was not weak, but he sinned. You see, we all face it. And as I said earlier, Satan will find the area in which we are weak, and he will use that against us, and especially with us as Christians. You see, we are a prime target of Satan. He worries more about us than he worries about those who are out in the world who are not Christians, because, you see, he already has them. All he has to do is maintenance on them, keeping them going in the direction that they're going. We are really the ones that he is after. And Paul tells us, though, that we can overcome it. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. When temptations come, we need to know, hey, I can walk away from this. I can say no. I can leave it alone. We just have to have the fortitude to stand firm in God and say, I will not do this, I will have no part of this, or do what Joseph did, run. Get away from it. Leave it alone. You know, there are reasons why Satan does this to us. There are reasons why he will tempt us in the ways that he does. He knows that it will hurt our influence when other people see us. Are there people in your life who you shy away from because of something they did maybe 10, 20 plus years ago? And because they did that many, many years ago, they've got to still be that way and they can never change. And we've still got to hold that grudge and keep it against them. He knows that he will hurt our influence. If Joseph had given in to Potiphar's wife, what would have happened to Joseph's influence? I have to tell you, my friends, my very first sermon ever was on the life of Joseph. Because Joseph had the characteristic that I think Christians should have in life. I'll preach that here someday. It's only 5 minutes long. Y'all will like that. But if he had given in to this, Joseph would not have been my first sermon. And we would not think as highly of him as we do now. Satan knows that he can ruin your life. Jesus talks about the thief on the cross, or rather the thief, not the one on the cross. John 10, verse 10, and you know that's exactly what Satan is. Satan is a thief because he's trying to take something away from us. He's trying to take godliness out of our lives. He's trying to take our eternal future away from us. Jesus said the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Peter tells us, hey, we need to watch out for him because he's coming. You know, we see all these bad things happening to other people. We say, well, it's happening to them. It never happens to me. Watch your back, friend. He's coming. And he's going to show up when you don't expect him. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, watch out. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and guess who he wants to devour? Us. And when he strikes, and if you give in, that sin that you give in to will cost you your soul. Remember, the wages of sin is death. But the fact is, thankfully, we can overcome it. We can be victorious over temptation. And the reason for that is Satan is not all powerful. He can be defeated. James 4, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that don't mean he's going to leave you alone if he goes away from you. He's going to come back, but he'll keep going away if you'll keep resisting. Our victory comes through Jesus Christ. Because, you see, he intercedes for us. And he is always with us. And he has provided for us the means with which to overcome the temptations that are going to come into your life. He has given us his word. We have all of it. And we can hold it in our hands. And we can read it with our eyes. And we can comprehend it with our mind. We can have that knowledge of God's word. And it is such a powerful tool. Not only that, we have a full suit of armor. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, things that will help us stay away from Satan. Things that will help us fight him, ward him off, defeat him in our lives. And last but not least, we have been given that escape. God will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able. It's like a release valve. The pressure can't build up to the point to where you've got to give in. There is always a way to get out. He will make that way of escape so that you can bear it. You know, Joseph was able to overcome this temptation. And look what happened to him. He became a ruler in Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself. And you know, God had that in mind when Jacob handed him that coat of many colors. God had that in mind
when his brothers put him in that well. God had that in mind when he was sold into Egyptian slavery. Everything that Joseph went through was to complete God's will, and it turned out to be for his good. And my friends, everything that goes on in your life, whether it's good, whether it's bad, if we follow God as best we can, it will turn out for your good. Now, we need to believe that. We too can overcome temptations. God has provided for us the means to defeat Satan. We've just simply got to use what he has given to us. Now, I'm not going to ask you again if you have temptation in your life, because I know that you do. And I'm not going to ask you again if you have given in to temptation in your life, because I know that you have. But I am going to ask you this, Christian. Is there something going on in your life right now that is causing you to separate yourself from your God? Is there something that he has brought upon you, that he has put in front of your face, that you have given in to and you've walked away from your Lord, or you have weakened yourself as a Christian? If that's the case, my friend, you need to repent of that. You need to walk away from that and come back to God. The sin that stands between you and God now will stand between you and God in eternity if you don't get rid of it. And if you're not a Christian, there is something that you need to do as well. You need to run. Just as Joseph ran from the sin that he was faced with, if you're not a Christian, you can run. You can run to God and ask God to forgive you through obedience to his word. In faith, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus as his son, and you can be buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And it's over. God will take those sins away that you have been tempted with. Now, that's not going to promise that you won't be tempted again, because we know that you will. But it will give you strength as a Christian to ward it off, to become stronger in the Lord so that you can ward them off. This morning, we need to remember to do basically what Joseph did. When we face temptations in life, turn around and run. Get out of the situation and stay close to God. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.